Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And this is another Potoween. This is Potoween. This is Potoween. 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 Potoween.
Potoween.
Episode. We saw... Actually, this is the first time we've ever seen this movie. Shad?
I had seen it once when I was a kid. When I actually went to visit a family member in LA, I saw it on the Elvira, like Sunday afternoon, Saturday night, whatever it was. And I always remember her saying, "Oh my God, we had a good movie on here."
Someone was fired, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they fired someone for that.
They're like, who do we have to fire? The Legend of Hell House.
To make this house so evil?
Murder, vampirism, cannibalism, drug addiction, alcoholism, sadism, mutilation.
How did it end?
If it had ended, we would not be here.
Inside me, even as I'm speaking to you, I can feel him just waiting in there to take over.
The house tried to kill me. It almost succeeded. I don't accept this.
I do not accept this.
'73. Holy fudge nuts. This movie blew my motherfucking mind. I felt like, how could I have not seen this movie? This is the first time. How can I call myself a horror fan if I have not seen this film?
It's crazy how good this movie is.
It's so good. And a lot of you are not going to be able to appreciate it because, you know, you got the CGI now and the gore and all the crazy shit. This is none of that. So don't even watch it. Just save yourself the thing because you're probably not going to... This is not the movie for you. But if you want to see a good movie, then you should watch this movie. I don't know what to say about it. I'm like, if you're not going to like this movie, don't watch it. It's 1973. What can they do in 1973? It's a movie about a fucking haunted house. How are they going to pull this shit off? We're going to see strings. We're going to see, you know, all kinds of fucked up shit that you're going to see when it's clear picture. I mean, the movie looks great when we saw it. We saw it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And it looked fantastic. No, I didn't see any damn... Mind you, I wasn't stopping it every 5 seconds, but in all the effects of the things that happened in the film, I didn't see not one string.
No, they pulled it off without, like... The only effect on there that, you know, doesn't really hold up 100% is the cat effect. But I'll give them that because you don't want to actually be throwing a real cat across the room like they do in every Friday the 13th movie.
Exactly.
These were guys who liked cats.
This film was actually based on the novel Hell House, written by the great Richard Matheson.
Yeah, he's amazing. I would love to get to meet him.
Have you read this novel?
Yes, I have.
And how do you remember how close it is to the actual novel, which was released 2 years prior to the film being released?
It's pretty close. They just toned down some of the sex and violence in it because the book goes into a lot more description about the creepy things that went on at the Belasco house. They're pretty graphic about what went on.
Now, this film, I'm not going to say it's been remade, but there's been several different films that kind of taken little things here and there and kind of put them in kind of close same scenario. So we got The Haunting with Catherine Zeta-Jones. Actually, there was one from 1963, and then there's another one with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Liam Neeson.
Well, then too, some of this I think was taken from, like, you know, The Haunting of Hill House and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, well, the similarity is like Roddy McDowall in the film. Who Roddy McDowall's in this film, guys? So if you're a Roddy McDowall fan, this is the movie for you.
See, Roddy McDowall's the guy you call when you're like, we've got this movie that's kind of shitty, but we would like you to be in it because your presence in it will elevate it from a C movie to a B minus movie. And then when you have like an A-list movie and you put him in it, then it just, it's off the charts.
Yeah, it's like taking it to a whole other level. The whole thing of like people that have abilities, whether they're sensitive to like supernatural things, and people that are kind of been put in a house to gain kind of like money. Roddy McDowall's character, he says in the movie that, you know, you got paid like $10,000.
Yeah. Well, let's just give a brief description of what it's about first, and for anybody who doesn't know. They have a person who wants to know, like, definitively if there's life after death. So he gets a team. It's like a physicist, two psychics, and the physicist's wife. He wants them to go and investigate to see if there's life after death. And the best place to do it is at the Belasco house, which there have been two previous investigations about to try and contact spirits and that there. Both previous investigations ended up with everybody dying except for Roddy McDowall, who they bring back on this one because, hey, he managed to live through the last investigation. Let's see how he does on this one. And it's about them spending a week in the house near Christmas. Their investigation is actually set to conclude on Christmas Eve. And, you know, shit goes very badly for them.
And yes, this technically could be watched around Christmas if you want to do like a
Christmas... Yeah, if you're looking for Christmas horror, this could be one.
Christmas horror. We obviously chose it for Potterween because we couldn't wait till fucking Christmas. And it's a movie about a haunted house. It doesn't get more Halloween than a haunted house.
Yep.
The 1963 version of the film, I'm going to say loosely based, has, you know, a guy that's coming in with two women to go investigate the house. Both women have like sensitivity to like the paranormal.
This is The Haunting, right?
The Haunting, yes. And the 63 version. And then there's the heir that also goes along with them, who is a man, and they all are in together in this house, and they all like go through the same thing. The same thing kind of happens later on in the 90s version with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Liam Neeson. So it's, but they're getting like the money.
Yeah.
If they're able to, they're also there to do like the investigation. So I feel like they didn't want to make a complete thing, but they took kind of like the elements and the whole thing about having a haunted house and maybe devious things happen to this house in order for it to become haunted and why the spirits can't move, you know, to the other realm. This one had some very disturbing shit in it, which is why I was blown away. It was like, whoa, that's intense. You don't even see that kind of stuff in movies today. Like the shit that they were talking about that the Belasco did. And I mean, obviously this is off the book. So what the hell was Richard Matheson doing at the time?
Yeah, he's a scary guy. But he was a scary guy in the way that, like, you didn't necessarily see a lot of the stuff, but you just heard about it, and that made it even creepier when you were just, you filled in the gaps, you know? And, you know, there's, it's one of these movies too where it's a very small cast. There's really only about six people in the whole movie that you really see, that have any kind of speaking part. The only other people you see are like some, you know, a driver and a delivery guy at one point. And it's just, you know, the house is boarded up all over, so there's no light coming in. So you never really get a good sense of, other than the time they put on the screen, what time of day it is, you know?
Yeah.
It could be nighttime, it could be daytime, you can't tell.
You definitely can't tell. Throughout the movie, I was like, why are they doing this when it's light outside? Oh, because the whole house is boarded up.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, and it definitely adds to the, you know, it moves it up like creep factor.
Yeah, and this is one of those things too where the house is kind of a, you know, you don't see a lot of the house on it. You really only see a little bit of the bedrooms upstairs and some of the, like, a couple of rooms downstairs and maybe the basement a little bit. But the place just looks like the kind of place you would not want to spend the night.
I definitely want to spend the night there. The furnishings to the home are creepy. The wallpaper is creepy. Everything about the house. Like, I don't want to be anywhere. If it was freezing fuck cold outside, okay? Like, below zero. And I happen to be stumbling upon the door like the fucking little match girl. They would say, hey, you want to come in? I'd be like, no, I'm good. I'll stay out here. Just throw me the soup. Throw the soup in my hand. Put it in like a bowl, like bread bowl. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Like I said, they pull off a lot of really creepy effects in this that I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm sure there was a very simple way they did it. A lot of those older effects that you were like, how the hell did they do that? Turned out to be really simple. But there's a lot of things where, like, tables are moving and you can see on all, not like you're just seeing one end of it, the table's jumping up and down, you're seeing like the entire table. So there's no way anyone can just be lifting it. There has to be some effect that they were doing for that, you know?
Yeah, maybe like a mirror somewhere or some kind of
something. And they're like, vases fall over, which I know there's ways you can do that, but they just pulled it off so seamlessly that you weren't even thinking about, like, how did this happen? You just, oh, okay, that place is definitely haunted.
Let's talk about the scene where, spoiler alert, somebody gives consent to a certain ghost.
Yes.
But alas, it is not the ghost she thought she was giving consent to. And now she's just had ectoplasma all around her. Yeah. Like, she's filled with the ecto. There's like scratches on her back. She's like delirious, like she looks insane after the fact. I was like, whoa, she got that demon D, like what is up with this?
Yeah, it's the only movie I've ever seen where like someone like consents, like, oh, you didn't get to experience sex when you were alive, ghost, so why don't you come and have sex with me now, and then that'll help you move on.
Yeah, it was very, it's definitely the anti-entity where she didn't want it.
But she got it. Yeah.
And then the other one gets it, but then after, she didn't want it, because it's not who she thought was going to be giving it to her.
But here's my question. Did you think that the ghost was going to be like a gentle, caring lover who was going to be like, let me stroke your hair and sweetly say things to you?
She specifically told him, make a love to me.
She should have been more specific. Because he was like, did you just say, fuck me savagely? Because that's what I heard.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And then the other woman in the house is running around. She's like, I'm not going to say a prude, but she's, you know, a classy lady who maybe has sex with her, you know, scientist, you know, husband maybe twice a year. And she's insane for the D. Like, she's reading crazy books about, what is it, phallic
worship or something like
that. Phallic worship. And she's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Here's a list of the books. Obsessive Acts and Religious Practices. The Worship of Priapus. The Psychology of Sex. Sex and Celibacy. The Anatomy of Abuses. And Phallic Worship and Autoerotic Phenomena in Adolescence.
This is these are their books in the bedroom, guys. This guy was not fucking around. He was like, I'm going to be well-versed in all kinds of fucking crazy bullshit. she picked it up and she was like, oh, Lordy, I just need that. Woo! She was just ripping her clothes off in front of Ronnie McDowell. Like, she don't even, she's like, is she married? She doesn't know. She's just wanting to have any kind of sex with anything. She was about to have sex with the fucking, like, vases, like the mannequins in there that were, I wasn't say walking around, the statues is what I meant.
But I love when she goes and she comes on to Roddy McDowell. She just whips her clothes off and is like, fuck me right here in the hallway, Roddy McDowell. And he just slaps her across the face and is like, no. Wow, that was a definitive no. That wasn't like a, no, I don't know, I don't think we should do this. No, this was just a, shut up, bitch.
Get your shit together. Like,
yeah, he just literally
snap
no.
the fuck out of it, bitch. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's Roddy McDowell, though. He's just like, no, I'm not into this crazy shit. No.
Get the hell out of here. He wasn't into it, I think, for more than just that reason, but that's fine. You know, to each their own. But he definitely wasn't into it. He was like, I'm not going to have sex with some random crazed woman because she looks crazed. Like, her eyes are glossy.
She's sweaty for no reason. It's wintertime in England. You should not be hot. You shouldn't be sweaty like
yeah,
that.
She's just like, this book, I mean, I don't even know what chapter she was on, but it just got her really going, and she was just throwing herself all over the place. But what's weird, she didn't want to have sex with her husband. She was like,
Well, he was asleep next to her, you know.
That's the best time, I feel like. She should have just done what she needed to do.
But he's like a proper English gentleman. He would have been like, oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, because Ronnie McDowell was a survivor victim of this house, that he's into freaky things, and she was just going to go and, like, savagely take him?
I don't know. She had plans.
Well, she did, but they didn't pan out because she got slapped. And shook out of it in her she runs up the stairs with her clothes like,
Yeah, she suddenly wakes up and is like, oh shit, what have I done? It's like she was on an Ambien trip or something and just woke up in the next door neighbor's house naked and was like, oh shit, thanks Ambien.
Wow.
But it kind of, you know, one of the themes of it is like the longer they stay there, the more people are getting affected by like the creepy energy left over from the house. Like the owner, the Emmerich Belasco, you know, he was throwing orgies 24/7 that were, you know, all kinds of crazy shit. Necrophilia, cannibalism was going on. So the longer they're there, the more they get affected by, like, the creepy, sexual, deviant energy of the house until they all, you know, they start acting weirder and weirder. Except for Roddy McDowell, who's just like, no, I've been here before. I know what's going on. I'm not opening up to any psychic bullshit while I'm here. No, thank you. I'm just here for a check.
Yeah, for real. Yes, he does not put up with any of that bullshit. And, he did a good job, I have to say. I was impressed. There was a showdown. All kinds of things happened. Not going to give too much away, but I definitely... there's a lot of parts in the film I really liked. The subtlety of everything, but yet how, you know, a shadow or just the work of the camera can really... you know, creepy the fuck out.
There was a great scene, like with the woman in the consent to the ghost, where she's standing by the bed and like the blanket and sheet just fold over and then slide down the bed, and you didn't see any wires, no strings, nothing. So I don't know how they did it, but it was just super creepy. Where the ghost was just like pulling the sheet back and practically patting the bed and like, come on in, it's fine. So that was a great scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of little scenes like that. I mean, if you can appreciate that kind of work, because it does take work for that stuff to kind of happen, movie magic, you know, that nowadays you could just press a button and it'd be done for you. I wonder how long and how many people it took to do, like, those kind of, like, scenes, because they're just so, it looks so effortless. It looks like there's a fucking ghost in there. Yeah, like, you're like, amazing. Oh, this is exactly what it would look like. They do a great job with that. All the acting, of course, you know, superb. Everyone does a fantastic job. How about the, let me bring in the computer, and the computer took up like half the mansion.
Yeah, you can always tell. I love the older movies where they're like, oh, I've got to bring in this special computer device that's going to try and cleanse the house. The thing came in and it looks like a giant, one of those, like moving pods they leave on your driveway. You put everything in them to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It's that size. It's huge. There's no way, like, they had to be, like, 12 men carrying it into that. How'd they even get it through the door?
I don't even know. I'm going to assume they maybe were double doors, or maybe they pulled it through the garden.
they assembled it inside. I don't know. They didn't really say, but the thing was huge. So, yeah, that was, like, I love it in the old movies when they show a computer and it's like, oh, you'll know it's a computer because it's gigantic.
And it had, like, 100 buttons.
Tubes, everything.
So who knew what these buttons were going to do? And they do have the film, I mean, it's not completely insanely, I was going to say left field or, like, completely unbelievable. Because they do have kind of a logical aspect to it, but then also supernatural
aspect. And that's one of the themes of it, too, is, you know, Roddy McDowall and the other woman that are there, that's a psychic, are both like, no, these things are happening because of psychic energy from ghosts. And the physicist is like, yeah, there's energy left in the house, but it's not ghosts. Everybody just leaves behind energy when you die. It just happens to be stronger here. He's coming at it from, like, a scientific perspective, where the rest of them are coming at it from, like, a supernatural perspective.
So, needless to say that he did not get paid his money.
Yeah.
And the old guy, who I feel like was looking for, like, the fountain of youth, also did not get his answer?
They weren't really clear on that. They didn't really say at the end, like, if anybody who got paid and...
That was like the whole thing of the movie. That was the whole reason why the motherfucker went to the house. Was because he was sent by, you know, Archie McBig Bucks over here.
Yeah, he was sent by what looked like Donald Trump in 10 years.
Who wanted to know if there was life after death.
And then, like I said, the end of it was, you know, they didn't really say what happened with it. It's one of those, just, and that was the same way kind of in the book, too. They just kind of said, okay, well, now we're going to get the hell out of this house. I think at that point, they don't really care about the money, you know?
Yeah, you're alive and you're out and you just saw horrific shit.
Yeah, we just need to get out of this house. We'll look at this as a terrible vacation and just chalk it up to that.
You almost had, you know, random sex with a stranger and did weird things.
Yeah, and then look at the other girl, you know? I mean, at least she got to have some ghost sex and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot. But I don't know. I would like to see the... other, I want to say versions, but the other kind of like similar haunted house films. I saw obviously the 90s one.
Rose Red's pretty similar to this too. Bunch of psychic investigators sent to a house trying to prove the psychic phenomenon's real. That one's mixed a little with like the Legend of the Winchester House, but a little bit of this too, kind of, you know, with the psychics being there. There's psychics, there's scientists and different things.
I saw the film when it aired on TV. And I remember immediately hating it. I would like to see it again with older eyes, because I was younger at the time. And I didn't like it. And the lead person, the lead woman is the lady from who married an axe murderer, right? Forgot her name.
But the curly Nancy hair. Travis.
Nancy Travis. Yeah, I couldn't take Nancy Travis seriously in this film because I was just thinking about her in axe murderer movie, which I love very dearly. But Nancy Travis, I don't know. I'd have to definitely revisit it. Did you like it?
I did. It's the first, it was like a 2 or 3 part one. I remember like the first couple of parts are better than the last. Part of that is because one of the actors that's in it died while they were filming it.
Holy shit.
And they had to kind of cut his storyline short and change things around. So that's why the last one feels a little rushed, because they couldn't really do exactly what they'd originally planned.
That is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And cursed. What's up with that?
Yeah, anytime there's a horror movie and people start dying, there's going to be a curse.
Yeah, especially about a fucking haunted house. That's creepy AF.
Yeah. Heck, not good times.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. This is another episode of our Pod-a-ween series. Yes, I will say it like that every single time. And stay tuned to the horror, guys. Stay spooky.
Hey, kids, here comes Peter Pumpkin. For a safe Halloween, do what Peter does. Wear a light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries and a time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe Halloween.